If you've not read Romans chapter 8 yet today, if you've not read Romans chapter 8 yet this week, when you get home, read it. Out of all of the chapters in Romans, out of all of the chapters from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're not going to want to miss Romans 8. You've read it, obviously, some of you. Security, responsibility, identity. Say it with me. Security, responsibility, identity. Say it with me. Security, responsibility, identity. Just decide. Security, come on. It is. Do you guys need more coffee? Listen, the way I feel like I got the spirit of Andrew living inside of me right now. So you're going to have to help me out, right? So good, guys. Listen, this is Romans 8. This is Romans 8. Security, responsibility, identity. This chapter is so good, right? I don't know if Pastor Jamie thought I was just going to mess it up or not, but we're actually going to take 2 weeks for this chapter. I'm like, is that because number two is preaching before number one? Hey, listen, it is always a joy and an honor to be up here and get the opportunity to share with you. Most importantly, it is a joy and a pleasure to get to serve our lead pastor, Jamie Bridges. I love that guy. I say that sincerely. And I know I say that all the time when I get up here, but I truly, honestly mean that. I love who he is as a man of God. And then on top of that, he's a wonderful boss, too. He's a great boss. And so, hey, listen, he's in Colorado this weekend celebrating the good things that God is doing in Jake, his oldest son's life. He just graduated from YWAM, a school focused on ministry and missions. And so they are spending a few extra days, as you've probably seen, on the slopes, right? On the slopes, yeah. And so, which is so exciting. And so they head back, I think today, actually, they're probably on the road right now. And so, yippee-skippy, 14 hours on the road. And so it's good. Listen, have you ever felt miserable? Man, see, you guys are, yes, this is what I need. Have you ever felt miserable? Maybe because you're sick. Have you ever felt miserable because you're sick? Are you like me in my house? When I'm sick, everyone's miserable. My wife is like, shut the door, leave me alone. I'm like, I'm miserable. I tell Natalie I'm miserable. I tell Nathaniel I'm miserable. I tell my wife I'm miserable. And she's like, dude, I am not your mom. I'm your wife. Take care of yourself, right? But when I'm sick, I'm miserable. Have you ever had a job? Hopefully you're not at that job, but you've had a job. And it's just miserable. I mean, it is like, when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, for some reason, it's like, you just want to go back to bed. You're not interested in going into the job. I mean, it is torture. I mean, you're watching the clock. It's going slow. You're like, is it 4 o'clock yet? Do I get to go home? I hate this place. I've had a job where I was just miserable. Only reason why I went to work is because I knew I had two kids, a whole family to feed. I had a roof to put over their heads. And I'm like, this is horrible. And if it was just me, I would buy a van and live down by the river and forget this job. It's horrible. Miserable because of the job. What about a person in your life? Have you ever been miserable because of a person in your life? I mean, I don't want to say family member, but there's a chance it's probably a family member, right? It could be a coworker, a boss, a neighbor, that guy, yeah, that always sends you text messages, emails. Are the lights going to be extremely bright in the church? Because I don't want to wake me up in the middle of the night. It's that dude, right? It's like, what's going on here, right? There's people in our life, sometimes when we bump into them, we're like, oh, this is misery. This is miserable. What in the world? But what about personally? What about you? Do you make you miserable? Have you ever felt miserable because of you? You're in the room and no one knows about it, but all you're feeling is misery. You're putting on this incredible face, this happy, happy, smile, sunshine, life is wonderful. But when you go home in the middle of your house, all by yourself, wherever you're at, all you feel is misery. You feel miserable. You feel unworthy. You feel like you've disappointed the world. You feel like you've disappointed yourself. You feel like you don't measure up. You're close to just quitting. You're throwing in the towel. It's like, I'm done. It's over. I'm miserable. I don't know where to go. I just want everything. Stop. I'm done fighting this battle. I'm getting out of the war. It's okay if I'm done forever. Misery is literally killing people every single day. And what's true about Paul has probably sometimes been true about you and I today. This is where Paul is at the end of chapter 7. He is miserable. He's miserable. His desire is to be obedient to Christ, to please Christ, yet that desire oftentimes ends in failure. He tries and he tries and he tries to get it right, but all he does is fall short every single time. He's miserable. In the end of chapter 7, where Jamie closed up last week, in verse 24, he says this, "Wretched," or even better translated in our language, "miserable man that I am." Wretched or miserable man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Who will deliver me? In a moment of solitude and silence, in the moment at the end of your rope, at the moment of the end of the road, have you ever looked at the ground, and in quietness to yourself, you're the only one that can hear it, ask yourself the question, who will deliver me from this death, this misery that I am in? Paul is miserable at the end of chapter 7, wants it all to go away. And then we come. And this is why you got to read chapter 8. Because if you start at chapter 7, it ain't going to work for you. It's over for you. I feel bad for you. I cannot get ahead of myself. And then we come to the hope of chapter 8. It is said to be the greatest chapter of the whole Bible. If there's a chapter that you don't want to skip, if there's a chapter that you want to make sure you read, if there's a chapter that you want to read over and over and over and over again, it is Romans chapter 8. If Romans chapter 8 could literally be its own book. Romans chapter 8, Jamie and I could spend literally 16 weeks on just teaching. It starts with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. In the middle, it communicates no defeat. Oh my goodness, right? No condemnation, no separation, and no defeat. This is the life I want to live. This is the life God wants me to live. This is the life I should be living. This is how I should wake up every single day. No condemnation, no separation, no defeat. Are you living in misery today? That's not what God has for your life. If you're discouraged or depressed, read Romans 8. If you're struggling with guilt, read Romans 8. If you're going through trials, read Romans 8. If you don't know how to or what even to pray, read Romans 8. If you're struggling with sin, read Romans 8. If you are unsure where you stand with Christ, wondering if He is well pleased with you, read Romans 8. It is great, 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 great news about the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy smokes. I love Romans 8. I love Romans 8. All right, here we go. Romans 8, chapter 1. That's just the introduction, folks. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, I told Jamie, I'm like, I think I'm only going to talk about this verse. Like, he's like, dude, I really need you to get through verse 17 so I can do the second half. Therefore, there is now, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Anybody this morning in Christ Jesus? Come on, man, this is what I'm talking about. You guys are, can you come back for the second service? Listen, condemnation is that overwhelming negative feeling about ourselves that exposes the belief that we are unlovable. It's deeply rooted in shame. Some people respond with paralyzing fear, dread, and the sinking feeling that no one, they are worthy to no one. It oftentimes makes us feel separated from God's love and leads us to a feeling of hopelessness, unworthiness, and insecurity. You've been there, right? We can feel condemned when we make a mistake or when we feel that we aren't good enough or we're not producing well enough. It leads to striving to be better, to feel bad about yourself and others, being jealous and angry. If we are in Christ, there is none of this in our lives forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You get this? This is good enough. We go home right now, right? I mean, this is good enough. If we are in Christ, everything that I just described about condemnation is not in our lives. Listen, I get that this is hard to comprehend. It was for me, folks. I have been in a book for the last 3 weeks nonstop. This is hard to comprehend because we don't like things for free. We want to work for them. We want to prove, right, that we've earned something. Jamie's been talking about it since Romans chapter 1. And here, Paul's at the end putting his foot down saying, listen, stop. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. This is not how God's called you to live. If we are in Christ, we are good enough. If we are in Christ, we should never feel guilt. If we are in Christ, we are lovable. If we are in Christ, we should never have fear that paralyzes us. It shouldn't be there. It should not be there. Romans 7, 24 through 25 reads this way. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God. Who will rescue me from this body subject to death? Thanks be to God. Who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord? So then, I myself in my mind am slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Who will deliver us? God, how will He deliver us through Christ Jesus our Lord? How will we walk in deliverance through the power of the Holy Spirit? Who will deliver us? God, how will He deliver us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? How will we walk in deliverance through the power of the Holy Spirit? All three of these things need to be functioning well in your life. God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. And the life that He wants you to live, you can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Never can you do it on your own. Once you start doing it on your own, all you will feel is condemnation. And if you're feeling condemnation today, it's because you're walking in your own strength. You're walking in your own strength. Romans 8, 2 through 4. I'm going to have my wife read it for me. Guys, she's got the best reading voice ever. Okay. Romans 8, 2, 4, here we go. Follow along with me.
Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He has condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
We have security in our relationship with God because the work of Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else, nothing more. Nothing else, nothing more. We have security in our relationship with God because of the work of Jesus Christ. It was hard, and I mean no harm in this. It was hard for this Catholic boy to understand that. It was hard for me. I didn't get the fact that my personal relationship with God had nothing to do with necessarily my work, but everything to do with just what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of Christ's work, there's no condemnation for our sinful behavior. That land hard on anybody? I had to read about 200 hours just to comprehend that. Listen, there is no condemnation. I know some of you are like, he's a heretic. That can't be true. There's no condemnation for our sinful behavior. Consequences? Most definitely. Right? There's a difference. Condemnation? Not at all. For those that are what?
In Christ.
You got to be in Christ. Those that are in Christ have been placed beyond the reach of condemnation. Oh my goodness. Paul here is referring to the last judgment, the outpouring of God's wrath, and what the Scripture describes as damnation. I know, you guys, some of you are like, I've never seen this side of you, Sean. I know, because we're usually having coffee, and I'm much more gentle, but I'm telling you, like, this is amazing. Listen, verse 1 might better read this way. Therefore, there is no damnation for those that are in Christ. Hey, let me just ask you a quick question. Any of you in Christ still fall short of the glory of God? Any of you in Christ still sin?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. No damnation for you. Oh my goodness, folks. We will face Him either under the law, or under the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I'm not facing Him under the law. I'm facing Him under the Spirit. Jamie talked about it all week last week. Right? I don't want to face Him under the law. Because if I have to face Him under the law, that means I got to hold to the law. Guess what? I can't do it. Listen, when my mom told me to keep my hand out of the cookie jar, I couldn't do it then. She's there right now. She's probably like, thumbs up, thumbs up. Right? If I cannot be obedient to my mom's laws, why do I think I can be obedient to God's? I can. Therefore, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for us. So that we could have access to the Father. And for me, and for you, and for those of us that are in Christ, no longer under law, but under Christ. I know. I know this is hard. I can see it in your face as you're like, Sean, I'm having such a hard time with this. I get it. But this is the fact. You're not good enough to get to heaven. And God knew that. And you know that. Yet at the same time, you want to work for your salvation. And you're miserable trying to do it. And you have family members and friends, right, that will not show up at church anymore. Why? Because they've just given up. Not because the church is bad, but they feel like they can't add up anymore to the goodness of God, to the glory of God, to be like God, to be around God. I'm too filthy, I'm too sinful, I'm too this, I'm too that. Listen, folks, we're saying the wrong thing. There is freedom in Christ. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. That's sanctification. Chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. It's what we've been studying, sanctification. The process of becoming like Christ. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. I don't even know where I'm at my notes. What our morality can never achieve, God achieves. What our behavior and performance and are incapable of attaining, God can attain. The law is powerless to rescue human beings from the authority of sin and death. But God in Christ has intervened to do what the law can never do. Christ became what we are so that we could become what He is. Christ became what we are so that we could become what He is. This is the gospel. We cannot. He can. It's that simple. It's that simple. We can't. He can. It's that simple. We can't. He can. It's that simple. Listen. We need to trust in the secure work of Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 12 years old. At 12 years old, I was in church for about a year at that point. We left the Catholic Church, and then my mom and dad took us to this really cool church that looked a lot like, not that the Catholic Church isn't cool, like, please don't say, you don't listen to what I'm not saying, okay? And so, anyways, don't make me get the spirit of Pastor Jamie on you this morning. What is that? Yeah, and so anyways, so I remember, right, the Lord revealing to me, right, that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And He clearly communicated that Savior was Him. And when the pastor said, hey, who wants to get saved? Like, who today realizes that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior? Who wants to do that? At a church of 1,000 people, I was the first one to walk down to the seat because I was like, this is real. I get it. I totally get it. I need to repent. I realize now that I'm a sinner. And there's nothing I can do for heaven except for believe in the good work of Jesus Christ and salvation. That's all I can do. That's it. I trusted in the secure work of Jesus Christ and made a decision to move forward in that. And before I move on today, listen, some of us in this room, a lot of us in this room, we've done that. We have a hard time sometimes like living in that, and we need to live in that. We need to trust in the secure work of Jesus Christ. We can trust in Christ's security. Here's the thing, though. Some of you not in this room have not made that decision. So what I'm about to say after that is going to be hard for you to swallow. Right? So some of you, whether you're watching online, whether you're in this room today, you need to come with this to grips with this right now. Think about it. There is a day when Jesus is returning, and for those that are under the law, we'll be accountable to the law. And for those who are in the Spirit, we'll be accountable to being in the Spirit. For those of us that are in the law, right, we will face damnation. I'm telling you right now, already, it's not going to work out for you. And at that point, you will be separated for eternity from Jesus Christ because you can't do it. So whether you're online today, whether you're in this room today, you have to make a decision. Have you repented of your sins, given your life to Jesus, realizing what God did on the cross for you through Jesus Christ? That's bottom line. That's it. That's where it's at. Oh, there was my water bottle. Poof, that wasn't the mic. Hey, listen. And I know for some of you in here, it's a process. It's a process. I get it. I started going to the church when I was like 11. It took about a year for me. I love how God slowly and gradually just walks with us and moves with us. But I'm telling you right now, for some of you in this room, there's this inner fight of whether or not you want to submit to what God is saying to you. And I'm telling you right now, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. What you've known about God in the past has been affecting your future, and God's not interested in that anymore. You can trust in Him. And it's really easy. And I'm going to pray real quick before I go on. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, it's really easy. There's nothing special. It's just God today. I realize that I'm a sinner, and I need You, Savior, in my life. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of it. I've been living by my own rules, and I want to live by Yours. So I'm going to pray, and if that's your prayer, you and God right now do business. It's called repentance. It's perfect. Call that friend. God's calling you right now. He's really trying to get a hold of you. I love it. Lord, I thank You so much for the secure work that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't have to be miserable. We can trust what You've done for us on the cross, even though it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. God, I want the new life that You have for me. I want to live in that new life. I don't want to live by my rule. I want to live by your rule. And so today, I say, forgive me. Today, I say, Lord, take me, show me, help me, give me clarity. I am no longer mine. I am yours. Amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 6, 5 through 13. The lovely Shelley Williamson.
This is a long one, so get ready. Verse 6, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live.
Amen. Our responsibility. Christ's security, we just got done talking about it. Now, our responsibility in Christ. Our responsibility. We have a responsibility. This isn't just like, all right, I'm good. No more damnation for me. No more condemnation for me. I can think, do, say, be whatever I want to be. Nope, not at all. It doesn't work that way. Listen, what is the focus of our lives? What do we think about all the time? Are we preoccupied with goals and ambitions and desires, appetites of just this world? What is our mind set? What is our focus? I can probably tell you where you'll be 1 year from now, 5 years from now, even 10 years from now, by simply asking you right now, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Because what's on your mind right now is where you're going to probably end up. Listen, I agree with this statement. I agree with it. We've heard it said this way. Don't be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. I completely agree with that. Love it. But I think Paul would say to us this. Don't be so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good. Don't be so earthly minded. Don't be so focused on the things of this earth that you're missing out on what heaven has for you while you're here on earth. Right? It's easy for us to fix our minds on things of this world, yet in doing so, there's this the potential for forfeiting everything that God desires for us. Where's our mindset, Christian? I'm talking to Christians today. I'm talking to people that have just gone over and they believe in the security of Christ, but now you're still walking in misery. Why are you still walking in misery? Because you have a responsibility. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Jesus Christ at the age of 12, the flesh came with me. It did, didn't it? Anybody else? No, nobody else got flesh in here? Right, yeah. Talk to your wife. Yeah, come on. That's awesome. Love it. How we are forming our minds, what we're putting in them, what we are exposing them to, right? Mind of the flesh, mind of the flesh says this, I want control. I want revenge. I want to be first. It's all about how I feel. I don't want to forgive. I deserve better. We do this as Christians. Mind of the Spirit says, the mind of the Spirit is all about dying to I. It's all about dying to self. It's all about just bringing glory to God in everything that you do. It's about in your relationship with your spouse, dying to self. It's about in your relationship with your coworkers, dying to self. It's about saying, no longer me, it's Christ. Our manual for a mindset on the flesh is this world. Our manual for a mindset on the spirit is this word. It's the word of God. There is a connection between living and thinking. What you set your mind on shapes your lifestyle and your character. Christian, one that is in Christ, what you set your mind on, what you set your mind on matters. It'll determine whether or not you're going to continue to live in misery or not. Are we devoted to reading, to knowing, to spending time diligently looking in to the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God? Victory over sin. I still deal with it. That stinking three-letter word. Victory over sin is only ever the result of having our minds set on the Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? Holy Spirit, what direction am I heading? Our security, our safety in the kingdom of God is not determined by our church membership or whatever good deed we've done or managed or performed or how we volunteered or what thing we've created or not created. Rather, our safety consists in being in Christ and knowing Christ and understanding the voice of Christ and following that voice and none other. The Holy Spirit is the key in helping us to have a new life. The new life that we read about it. Outside of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very difficult to have. Hard to have. The Holy Spirit instructs. He's the helper. I mean, Jesus says, hey, listen, in John, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, I'm going to leave you an advocate. I'm going to leave you a counselor. I'm going to leave you a helper. One that will guide you and lead you. One that will help you move in the direction that I want you to go in. Hey, listen, if we're not going to be miserable, we have a responsibility. What God wants us to inherit when we inherit the kingdom of God, heaven, we can have here on earth as well. It's whether or not we're willing to submit ourselves, surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and follow through with what He says. I hear this question all the time, and it's a good question. It really is. It's a good question. One of my favorite things to do is to work with 20-year-old young men. It's the joy. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it. And obviously, I get this question a lot from that age group. Pastor Sean, how do I know she's the one? How do I know he's the one? How do I know? Like, how do I know she or he's the one? And my response is always this. There's only one for you, man. It's God. It's Jesus. I don't come from the camp of believing that there's one. I come from the camp that there is one. It's God. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget the struggle. I should use a different word than struggle. That was probably not a good word to use. Of making the decision that I was going to propose to Shelley. There it is. Right? So we dated for 3 years and Bible college and pursuing Christ and wanting just God for our lives, all that kind of stuff. And I remember saying, God, all right, listen, this is a humongous decision. This is forever. Amen. What am I doing? He's like, I think she's pretty cool. I'm serious. This is a conversation we had. Sean, listen, you trust what I've brought together in the leading of the Holy Spirit, I will continue to do. He never said to me this. She's the one. I never heard that. I've never heard to me, that's the most ungodly thing you could ever say. I mean, there's probably a lot more ungodly things that you could say, but right? I mean, it was never, she's the one. Sean, I'm digging this. Like, I got thumbs up on this. Have you believed that I've led you this direction? Yeah. Will you believe that I'll continue to lead you? Yeah, your mind's right. It's about where I'm at and where you're going. Just keep listening to me. Go buy a ring. You know why it was really important that he said that to me? I won't say this about her, but I'll say it about me. Because I'm not perfect. Because I'm a sinner. And if she was looking for perfection, she found the wrong person. She found the wrong person. But you know why this works? I mean, it works for a lot of reasons. Golly, I'm going to have to save this when I get home. This doesn't work outside of Christ, folks. Amen. I mean, I've only been married for 19 years. 18 years. 19 years. See, she doesn't remember either. 19 years. Because we're focused on Jesus. So here's my answer to those that asked me that question. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Let's talk about the process of you submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit and growing in your relationship with Christ. Before we ever talk about who you're going to marry, if we would spend less time trying to figure out who Mr. or Mr. Right is and more time trying to apply biblical truth to our lives, we would be much happier and more fruitful Christians. When I am focused on the Word of God, when I am being all that I can be in Jesus, let me just say this to y'all. To that lovely lady over there, I am irresistible. Just going to leave it right there. The Spirit guides His people on the path of righteousness, which leads to holiness in everything that we do, in the decisions that we make, of what we're going to be for the rest of our lives, and the decisions of who we're going to marry, of any kind of direction that we're going to go. The Spirit guides His people on the path of not what job, not what car, not what house, not with whatever, on the path of righteousness, which leads to holiness in every area of our lives. It's righteousness. It's being in the Spirit. Our responsibility is this, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you following the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are you following? Condemnation pulls you away from God. Conviction leads you closer to God. Two different things. Condemnation will beat you up. The Holy Spirit uses conviction. He says, come here, let's talk. We need to work on some things. Big difference. Our responsibility is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's point two. I still have a third one. First point is what? Come on. So you guys are that quiet. You really want to leave? Are you done? All right, the second thing is this. And the third thing is identity. Shelly, can you read quickly for us? Ben, you can come on up. I got to get done here in like 3
verse
minutes.
Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs to God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory.
Hey, just real quick, newsflash. If you're in Christ, you are a child of God. Any parents in here? You know what that means, right? You get all the good stuff and the bad stuff. Everything. If you are in Christ, you are a child of God. You are a son. You are a daughter. Listen, this is awesome. You get to call Him Father. Does every kid in the neighborhood call you Father? Your wife is thankful for that. Because you know what comes with that. First, a good talk with your wife. Second of all, a lot of other things. But listen, not only do we have access to God, but like Jesus, this is just blows my mind, folks. Like Jesus calls him Father, I get to call him Father. Like Jesus calls him Father, I get to call him Father. We need to walk in our new identity. Listen, here's my concern for church. And I need you to hear this. And Jamie says it all the time, and he says it so well, and I love the way he says it. Here at Life Community Church, we don't make converts. We make disciples. We don't make converts. We make disciples. There's those of us in the church that have had a conversion encounter. Salvation. We've had a conversion encounter, but it's never continued, it's never grown into, it's never translated into a discipleship experience. They're so important together. Conversion encounter is God's work through Jesus Christ. Get that. Conversion encounter, God's work through Jesus Christ. Discipleship experience. Our responsibility through the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's hard work, guys, but it's worth it. When we choose to have a conversion encounter and a discipleship experience, we do not live in misery. We do not live in condemnation. Jesus gives us access to the Father. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live like Jesus on this earth. I love the sweatshirt that Pastor Jamie made for me. I wore it last weekend. I'm just going to confess. Because I didn't realize how good it would be for this weekend. I'm like, honey, can I wear the same sweatshirt? She's like, ain't nobody paying attention to your clothes. Do what makes you happy. Uh-uh. I'm not doing what makes me happy. That's walking in the flesh. Do what makes you holy. That's walking in the Spirit. Let's not confuse happiness and holiness. Happiness will lead you to being miserable. Holiness will lead you to sing louder than you've ever sang. Stop being miserable. Would you stand with me this morning? Trust in the secure work of Jesus Christ. Stop being miserable. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Stop being miserable. Walk in your new identity. Then, and only then, wherever you go, you will sing wherever you go. You will sing wherever you go. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the message about Christ in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom He gives. Sing songs. I can't do it anymore. To God with thankful hearts. We sing wherever we go because of the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what? We are secure in Christ's identity. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in our responsibility. And folks, I'm not waiting for my new identity till I get to heaven. I'm walking in it right now.